Check, check. Welcome. Welcome to Sunday night. My name is Wes. I'm the pastor here. If it is, this is your home, welcome. This is a place that you gather for community. You gather to be encouraged, to be comforted, to be challenged wherever you are. No, I'm okay, dude. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's okay. Thanks, man. So welcome. Welcome tonight. If you are brand new, wherever you are, if it's your first time, if it's your second time, if you're new to the church experience, welcome. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't grow up really a part of a congregation at all. The first Bible verse I ever thought I heard was, only God can judge me, which was Tupac and not the Bible. But like, that's sort of been the journey. And I just want to say, you're allowed to be on that journey wherever you are, whether you're figuring out who God is, whether you've had a relationship with God, you've been hurt or disappointed in that relationship, either by God or by people who have represented him as a part of the church, whatever that journey has looked like. And I know the experience may feel isolating. And that's never been our hope, never been our desire, that you would feel isolated or alone at church, that you would feel like, I'm the only one with my story. And I know at church it's easy because people are smiling at you, telling you like, hey, how's it going, brother or sister? And it's like, yo, you don't know me like that. Back up. And I get that. I really do. But I do want to say this. We are smiling at you, and I have to remind myself of this all the time. I have a resting face that makes people ask me legitimately if I know Jesus. Like, at coffee or the gym, it's like, hey, what do you believe is going to happen after you die? I'm just like, look, the way my eyebrows are set up, I'm actually okay. I just want you to know the people here that are smiling at you, as encouraging as we want to be, it's not because our lives are untouched by pain or hurt or loss. It's not because no one in our family gets sick. It's not because we don't experience disappointment. It's not because we don't have any regrets. It's not because we're not afraid or we've not ever failed. On the contrary, we have. But we believe that you and I, that we have hope, that our story is never being done written, that there's an authority beyond your circumstance. We have permission to smile at you because we have hope. And how else could we treat you when we believe that you're God's son or daughter, that you have a hope, a purpose, that your life has meaning, that you are not an accident floating through the cosmos just as we go on this journey of absurdity. But we believe that your life has meaning and purpose and value. So welcome. We are so happy to have you here with us. One of the things that I love about this church, and one of the challenges, to be honest with you, of first coming to this church, when I first stepped on the campus with beautiful landscaping and palm trees and a bloody lake and a chapel, when I grew up far from this place, somewhat by design, all of a sudden in a church where you felt like, man, they do everything they can to keep my type out of here in a way, and there are toll roads between my community and this community, and there are gates. It was like, woo, I don't know if I can. I think it's getting too honest in announcements. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. It's totally comfortable, and I'm used to, like, Fashion Island and Whole Foods and Lululemon. It's totally normal. Like, this is, yeah, oat milk lattes. Totally grew up with that. Yeah, that's me. Okay, cool. Let's move past, you know, pretending a church. Great. But when I got here, one of my favorite parts of Mariners is Outreach Weekend. Once a year, we take an opportunity to look and really focus and orient our hearts, the hearts of the church, outside. Throughout history, God has called us to look beyond ourselves, not to exist as a social club, as an echo chamber, to just echo our own thoughts, but actually to look beyond and be a benefit and a blessing to the world around us, not just here, but beyond, beyond our borders, out in the world. And if we ever fail to be that, we're actually failing to be God's people. And we can't just talk about it. I can't just say, hey, we should value them without actually giving them access and giving them power. And the only way you can really give people power in church, in a large part in church service, is to have them preach. So it is my honor to have Shegs. Shegs, will you come up here? Shegs is with us from Trinity Gospel. She is an associate pastor at Trinity Chapel of Ruiru. Hey, let's go. Thank you. Okay. All right. Well, I want to pray for you, and we'll jump in. God, I thank you for Shugs. I thank you that we have the opportunity to hear from her. God, we are not the only church in the world. We are not the most important, the most significant, the only church with a voice that matters, God. But your spirit is powerful, and it's moving globally throughout the world, and we are humbled to be a part of that church. God, give us ears to listen. Would you mold our hearts tonight? Would you give us clarity and understanding of who you are and who you have called us to be? So, God, we open our hearts to you. So, Jesus, let me pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you, Wes. Good evening. How are you today? I'm glad. I like that people are responding because where I come from, the preachers like to be encouraged by the congregation's response to them. So I hope you're going to do me that favor tonight, right? I like that. Thank you. So as Wes said, my name is Shegs, and I'm privileged to be here before you tonight and share God's word. I am one of many global partners of Mariners Church. An interesting story. So the first time I visited Mariners, somebody took me out for dinner. And I know how when you're not eating salads, most of the time, most people will eat like meat. So what's the one thing, Shegs, you really miss about being home in Kenya that I'll take you out on a nice dinner and you can enjoy? So we love meat as well. So I was like, great, let's go for a steak. And so we did. I will not say the name of the restaurant or the person for identity purposes. It's good to protect the identity. And so we went to the restaurant and we sat down, the menus, everything. And so I said, yeah, just, you know, order for me. So the person did. So how do you want your meat to be done was a question. So I'd never encountered such a question. I'm like, what do you mean? Do you want it medium well? Do you want it, all the too rare? And I'm like, I think do medium well. But somewhere in the translation and the accent, something got confused, because what came on my plate minutes later was almost rare. Like, I cut into it and the like blood oozed out. And I think I like pushed back on my seat, and the friend who'd taken me out was like, what's wrong? I'm like, it feels like this steak is gonna walk out of my plate. Like, it's still alive. I mean, it's warm. And I couldn't help but, so every time I go to a restaurant now, I have to say, do it well, like dead, even eggs. What do you call the eggs, the sunny side up? I'm like, no. I don't want them to hatch on my plate. Please, let them be dead. But thinking about that experience and many others that I have had in my life, it feels like the world does everything that it can. All the messages that it sends us are to separate us. All the cultures and subcultures everywhere around the world point out to very specific things that make you feel you're either alone. You know, it's a me versus them kind of thing. Or bunches all of us together and says we're all the same. Doesn't America say something like we're a melting pot? I'm like, I don't want to be a melting pot, because I believe that the Lord has created me to be unique. It's not a me versus them kind of thing as well, because you two are also created in the image of God. And I'm definitely not alone. Definitely not alone, because the Lord has put me in a place where I can fellowship with other believers. And therefore, I can't help to think of so many examples that the Bible has for us in places where the Lord encourages us and wants us to go across the cultural divide. Constantly. In Philippians 2, again, my first example. I think it's going to be up on the screen. Philippians 2, 6 to 8 says this. And this is in relation to Jesus Christ. So I'll start at 5. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death to the cross. And every time I read that, I'm like, God had every power to like wave his hand or magic wand or whatever he has and go like, that he would make me a believer and I'd vanish, you know, get away from all the things of this earth. But he was like, no, in order for me to set an example for my people, let me go and become like them. So left his throne, left all his privileges, left his father. His father had to watch his son go and become human. And we're not perfect, are we? Exactly. There's so many things that go wrong with us. And God is like, oh my gosh. Okay. Oh my God. Like, Father. Like, really? You want me to become them? Do you hear what you're saying? You know, sometimes we have arguments with our parents and go like, are you listening to yourself? Mom, like, really? But Jesus was like, gladly, I will do this thing because my Father knows what's best for me. My Father wants me to be able to be that example that these guys can follow, that can physically see. Because sometimes we want to walk by sight and not faith, right? Tangible things make more sense to us. If I can't see, then I can't believe it. So how about, let me just go down, hang out with them, and then maybe they will believe in you. Maybe they'll believe in you. And then we meet this other guy. Oh, this guy was horrid. Any opportunity he would get, if he just overheard that you're a believer, he'd go like, that's him. Let's get him. Let's stone him to death. Let's jail him. Let's burn him. Anything outside that could make the gospel go further. And so some appearance, you know, the Lord had to appear to him like in person. We have a saying in Kikuyu, one of the languages I speak, and it's in times, like really, really difficult times, where you tell God, please come yourself and don't send a messenger. That's the loose translation of how I would put it, because you really need God to come through. In this case, God was like, okay, my people are perishing. My people are being persecuted. So to stop this guy, I'm not sending nobody. I'm going myself. And so he encounters God while he's on a journey. And this is Paul. But what I love about Paul's journey, 1 Corinthians 9, 19 to 23. This is what he says. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I have become like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I have become like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I have become like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I have become weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. And that's quite a turnaround for me. From somebody who, I don't even want to be known I'm a Christian, because I'm not sure who I'm talking to. They could be spies. You know, we live in a world where now technology, if you tap into anything, somebody could be listening. So I don't want to say over the phone that I have become a Christian. It's like this big secret that I am living. Because this guy was the worst of them all. But to hear him confess and say, Jesus is Lord over my life, and I am doing everything I can to bring everybody to the kingdom, that's quite a transformation. That's not easy. I wouldn't say I've become all things to all men. I'm only some things to my friends because they've accepted me. But other people, I'm like, I don't want to become you or like you. And so, for the sake of Christ, Paul has transformed into be able to fit in the different situations, different circumstances, different cultures, different people groups, different languages, so that he could share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that which has happened to him. And so I can't help but look at these two examples, the example of Christ and the example of Paul, and go like, then what's my response? Sheikhs, how do you respond to something so powerful as that? I go back to the scriptures again. Because the very Paul mentions in Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Now, I will admit there are some things I have tried as a result of being in many cultures. So the steak that was rare, I asked if it would be okay to take it back into the kitchen and just have it a little bit cooked, just so that I could eat. But I'd say more often than not, I am willing to try. I've eaten Vietnamese food. Okay, I'm a foodie. So Vietnamese. I've eaten Chinese, and I've realized that the Chinese food we have in Kenya is not the same as it. The one you have here is legit. I mean, it's very different. It's like nothing I'd eaten before. I'm like, okay, we're doing Chinese. Let's go for Chinese. And so I've tried Chinese. I've eaten Guatemalan food. I'm like, something closer to home. Okay, Mexican food is just like Kenyan, so I'm at home there. But I'm like, I'm willing to try up to things that like are fun and adventure type things. So what we call fun and adventure is couch potato and surfing the TV. That's fun. Our context doesn't necessarily mean mountain biking and hiking, surfing and all these extreme sports. We're like, no, I'll stay at home. That for me is relaxing. And so my being here in the States for the times that I've come and gone, this past Thursday, I think, we did a treasure hunt on Balboa Island. I mean, it could never be fast enough with like a gazillion things to do in the shortest time possible. I'm like, this is so American. Because I'm like, I want time to like explore and, you know, take every moment. You know, like, nope, you finish one thing, you have to move to the next. But that's part of being in cultures that you don't understand. And hoping that the people I'm with will explain it to me. Letting them be my eyes because I can't see everything. I can't know everything. And so when my mind is transformed, then I am able to see what other people see that I can't see. I usually wear glasses to see because I have disparity and blurred vision. And I'm not wearing any contacts right now. And I think one of the best advices my eye doctor gave me, which now I think is true, is like sometimes you just have to take a break. I mean, I'm like, really? Do you want me to? I'm like, yeah. And I think sometimes the blurred vision without the corrective glasses keeps me from seeing certain things I shouldn't see. So I guess it saves me some pain. And sometimes I'm like, that's exactly it. When I'm in a different culture or a different subculture, let somebody else be my eyes. That is their context. They know it better. And allow for them to guide me. So my mind has to be transformed in my thinking that I'm not always going to be good at everything. That some people are better at it and it's okay. And I need to let them to be. And when they come to my context, I'm going to have fun with it because now they're in my turf, right? But it's about building bridges. What is it about my faith that defines my culture? Or does my faith define my culture? Putting it a different way. Sometimes we want to separate faith and culture. And like, I believe in Jesus, but... But when I look at the scriptures and what the word tells me about the behavior of believers, it's very much like Jesus. It's very much like Paul and the many examples that the Bible has. People willing to let go of where they're at to step into the unfamiliar. The church in Acts 2 is a good example of this. So Acts 2 is the first large gathering after Jesus had risen to heaven. The first large gathering. And from verse 1 to 12, it gives us the story of them being gathered in a room just like this, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And when the Spirit comes, they start speaking in different tongues. And then the Jews come from outside and go like, wait, I think I hear you're speaking Luya. That's like my local language at home. You have no training, no exposure to it, but I understand you just as well as I would in my home. And somebody else is speaking, you know, all the languages in the world, you can name them. And they don't understand how these guys have knowledge of these languages that each and every person can identify their languages. And it's a spirit that enables them to do this. And later on, in the same chapter 2, that day about 3,000 took him at his word. They were baptized and were signed up. They committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal, and the prayers. Everyone around was in awe. All those wonders and signs done through the apostles, and all the believers lived in a wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they owned and pooled their resources so that each person's need was met. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home, every meal a celebration, exuberant of joyfulness, as they praised God. People in general liked what they saw, and every day their number grew as God added to those who were saved. And I can't help see them create a subculture within their culture. After embracing the faith and becoming Christians, they're like, this is what we are going to do so that then we are distinct from everybody else. And I love the part where they lived in wonderful harmony. One of the definitions I've heard about bridge building and about crossing cultures, a guy called Robert Cousins from Canada. And this is what he says. He defines culture as a strategy to enable and shape human living. A strategy to enable and shape human living. And I see this church model exactly that. The eating together, the praying together. And they sold whatever they owned and pooled their resources so that each one's need was met. Later on in Acts 4, verse 32 puts it this way. All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. What would it get for you to get to a place where you go like, my time is not my own? In fact, that's another thing I struggled with. Everything here is on a schedule. I have chunks of time that are empty. Because in my context, you're not meant to fill up everything. But in this context, it took me a while to catch up. And I think I did well. Though the guys in the back might say otherwise. But I think I did well. It feels like time is never enough. What would it get for you to say, I have time for other people? What did it get for you to say, everything I own is going to be shared with others? just as this church did. But the best part I like about Mariners, it's that it's I don't think it's a struggle. Not really. And I have my other friends from the Global Church who would say the same thing. So if the video is ready, I'd like you to watch this.
Hi, Mariners Church. I'm Esther Ntoto from Africa New Day and Jour Nouveau. And you are here in the Democratic Republic of Congo in Goma at Jour Nouveau Africa New Day.
My name is Turi Nunez here at Comunidad Cristiana El Niño in Tijuana, Mexico.
Hi, my name is Pastor Samuel. I'm serving in Haiti and I'm here in Mariners. I'm happy to be here and at Mariners Church to serve with you this weekend.
This country, the Democratic Republic of Congo, has been known for a country rich in mineral resources and all kind of riches under the ground and above the ground.
Tijuana and Mexico are known to be a relational country and a relational city. And so we accept everybody that comes no matter where they're coming from.
My country in Haiti is well known as the best country with the beautiful beaches and with good water, and you can refresh yourself all the time.
I think the most precious resource that we have in the Democratic Republic of Congo, it's its people. We have wonderful people who are just looking for an opportunity that Mariners Church has given them. So through education, we've been trying to raise a new generation of leaders that will be focused on knowing that God has created them for a purpose and they are the solution to all the problems that they see around them.
Our vision for our church is to be able to prepare God's people for serving in their community and transforming the world. The way that Mariners have supported us through the years have been with home builds, child sponsorship, and just community outreach that has allowed us to serve our community in a better way.
After the earthquake hit Haiti, I feel that God put in my heart to go back. And that's where I met a group from Mariners Church. While we were serving together, I received my call from God to stay there, minister there. And I gathered kids that they were orphans looking for a way of living. With Mariners Church, we help them. They have a home. They go to school. They have a good education, and now they have dream, they have hope.
My hope is that you can love your community the same way we love ours.
Mariners Church, you have invested so much in us. You have believed in us when we didn't believe about ourselves. And my prayer for you today is that the same love and care that you have shown from people so far away, that you will have it for your own people in your backyard of Orange County.
I hope that you have the same passion, the same desire to help your country locally to go and serve so people will know the love of Jesus.
There you have it. It's an invitation to be one in heart and mind. It's an invitation to embrace Christian culture and make it part of your own lifestyle. It's an invitation to incorporate Jesus' and Christ's teaching into your life in a way that it's an everyday thing and not once in a while. My prayer is that you will be aware of the assumptions that have been made about differences in culture, behavior, and attitudes, that you'd be aware of them. And these often come out as stereotypes. But secondly, you will move a step further from the assumptions and you will seek knowledge, that you would expand your mind in facts and information about these people about these cultures, about these attitudes, the whys behind it. And you all received like a prayer card that has information about a specific country or a specific church. Go dig deeper and find out more about them. But the third thing is you'd move even a step further beyond the assumptions, beyond the information, and actually give of your resources, your skill. Because faith without works is dead, right? That you'd move a step further to incorporate all that. And I pray that you will be interested, very interested, in other cultures. That you'll be sensitive enough to notice the differences. And that you'd be willing to modify your own behavior as an indication and respect for other people. And so I am going to call Serena to come. And she can let us know about the serve opportunities.
Hey, guys. Give it up for Shags. She is awesome. Yeah, she's incredible. And thank you so much. So I'm going to talk a little bit practically of three different ways that we can step into what Shags was talking about. I love getting to learn from our global friends and men family, and what I've learned that I get to be on staff. So I'm on staff in our outreach department, but I also serve and volunteer here at Sunday Night. And what I love, what I get to do, and what I stepped into when I started working in our outreach staff, was that I learned that I have a global family, that being a part of this church and being a part of Mariners Church and our staff, that I was adopted into a global family that prays and cares for our church beyond what I could imagine. When I saw Shags the other day, she congratulated me on my recent marriage. She said that she is praying for us and she celebrated with us. And that is something that I could never have imagined, that there is someone across the way who knows me, who sees me, and is thinking of me. And our family in the global world, we partner alongside and walk alongside churches in their context, and we get to step into ministry with them as they lead the way in their communities. And it is a beautiful thing to see how they not only serve their communities, but how they continue to pray and reach out to us here at Mariners. So our first step that we're inviting you into is to pray, like Shags talked about. We gave each and every one of you, if you didn't get one, we have more in the back, and we gave you a prayer card. So specifically for Sunday Night Community, we are inviting you to pray for our Germany partners. So on the card, we have some information, like Shag said, just some brief information of how we can pray, what are the ministries of the churches, how we can pray for this church specifically, and how we can pray for the partner specifically. And so we're stepping into our Germany partner, Pastor Henry at Stadlich. It's going to be difficult to say. But we get to partner with them, and specifically with Sunday Night, we're connecting our prayer and our serve opportunities. So in Germany, we had some friends come and stay with us for a little while, and they learned about our ministries and specifically our Lighthouse Community Centers. And so they learned from us and decided that they are going to start a Lighthouse Community Centers in Germany. And so we got to partner alongside them and walk with them in that journey as they're beginning their own Lighthouse Community Center. And so we, as Sunday Night, are stepping in, and we're inviting you, I'll talk about in a second, to serve with our Lighthouse Community Centers that are here in our community, and to specifically pray for our Germany partners as they're embarking in their journey of starting a Lighthouse Community Centers in their context. So I'm inviting you guys to pray. As Shag said, you have more information than what's on this card. You can come talk to us in the back and learn more about how you can engage and learn more past what this card is saying. So come and talk to us, and we'd love to do that. We just want to ask you, as a sign of commitment, that you to fill out the bottom half of this prayer card, and that you're going to give it to us in the back during response, that saying that you're committing to pray. The second thing that I'm going to invite you into is to give. So in the back, we'll have iPads where you guys can choose to give of your resources, to give of your money specifically. This is something that's difficult. I think it's even hard for me to ask from stage because at times we're getting asked for a lot of things from the world around us. And we don't know exactly where that money's going, what's happening. But Jesus is inviting us not only into just give our money freely with just trusting him, but we also get to understand through relationship where that money is going. Because this doesn't go to our operating budget, but it goes to above and beyond. It goes to all of our outreach ministries and to our church partners as well. And so you get to step not only knowing that you're trusting in God with your finances, trusting in God with what he's asking and calling you into financially, but he's also inviting you to learn more through that donation of what's happening. You're getting to pray for our church partner and know what's going on. And so some of you may be able to give a dollar. Some of you may be able to give 20 or more. But I'm asking you to think about what God is inviting you to do tonight. So we'll have iPads in the back during response and after service. The last thing is serve. So on the other side of the card, we have serve opportunities specifically for Sunday night. We are inviting you guys, like I said, to our Lighthouse Community Center block party. So our Lighthouse Community Centers are, we have different community centers around Orange County where we care for marginalized at-risk youth and families who we do primarily tutoring to. And you've heard about this specific partner. You've heard about our Lighthouse Community Centers before. And we've gone and helped out at the block party. We've served the last 2 years. And so we want to invite you back again. We're throwing a party, a celebration to celebrate all that we have done in the past 30 years of ministry on Mini Street. And we get to invade that space showing the love of God, knowing that we have walked alongside that community and we get to walk alongside them celebrating how they've stepped up to transform their community. So we'd love to invite you guys. We'll have signups in the back. So there are laptops in the back where you can actually sign up. But if you're interested in getting a link, that will be on, you can sign up on the bottom or check this box on the back. So you'll have your information on the front, check the box on the back. And you can hand that into us over in the back of the room. That was a lot of on the back. But yeah, and lastly, I think there was a slide, I might have skipped it. You can also text to give. This is a really easy way to text as well. So there's information right there on the screen that you can just text that word, OR Weekend, to that number. And that is an easy way to also, if you're contemplating what you can give, you can take a picture of the screen, you can save this information and pray about it. I know it's easy for me to get up here and say, here's three easy steps. We want to make it easy for you, but we also know that these are big asks. They're things that we have to pray about and contemplate and invite God into to know that we're not just saying yes one time, but that we're committing to praying and walking alongside our family around the globe and stepping in to serve those locally. So if you have any questions, please talk to us in the back. I'd love to get to know you guys. If you have any questions at all about anything that we talked about or anything about outreach, I'd love to get to know you guys. But you guys are also welcome to respond as we normally do here at Sunday night. So you have people in the back who will still be willing to pray for you. There will be our prayer station and communion as well. So we're going to respond by praying, give, and serve, and also through our normal stations. So this is now a time of response, and you guys get to have this time as your own to invite God into what he's asking you to do tonight.